This is your host, Dr. Robert. Let me tell you what's on the radio this week. Yes, that's the name of the program, What's on the Radio, your guide to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, broadcast at this time each week. In this hour, you'll learn what's new and upcoming, when to tune in so you don't miss them, and you'll hear briefly from a couple of presenters, and each week we'll listen back to highlights of one of the community talk shows here on Yarra Valley FM.
Turn up the radio and turn off the lights.
Now, if you're interested in how one organisation in the Yarra Valley is helping vulnerable people attain a safe, secure and stable home, don't miss Community Connections at this time tomorrow. Alan Collier will interview a representative from Anchor about the work they do with children, adults and families. Our community, your anchor point. That's Community Connections with Alan Collier, 12 noon Wednesday, right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, your community radio station.
It's the sound to go with. It's the sound to stop with. It's the most versatile sound around. The radio that goes anywhere, plays anywhere, from its own battery, car battery, or PowerPoint, through the exclusive Battery Saver. A car radio, a powerful 9-transistor portable, a car portable, a fine home radio. It's every kind of radio in one. Make it the sound around you.
Yarra Valley FM, 99.1, baby.
Mark of excellence in radio.
Frankie Van, everybody recognises your voice here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. You've got a couple of shows. Do you want to have a chat about them?
Well, let me start with my intro. So if we talk about the drive show, it starts, first of all, good afternoon, Yarra Valley. That's how it starts. The drive show is all about the music from today, the first hour, and then you never know what I'm going to play the next hour. It's called Frankie's Mix.
And you select these from your own private selection and collection of LPs and CDs, do you?
As I've been a well-traveled person, I'll collect all these songs from all over the world. So therefore, sometimes you hear some weird but really funky songs.
And you also like waking people up in the morning with your breakfast show.
Now, the breakfast show, every Friday morning from 6 till 9. The first hour, it's soft, easy wake-up music. Really nice and comfortable, from the Eagles to you name it, and I'll play it. And then it's around 7 o'clock is a bit of a country songs, like a good 15 minutes of the good old country bangers. Then I go into a bit of 80s and 90s. And then around school drop-off time, of course, the kids want to hear their new doof-doof music. So that's happening every Friday from 6 till 9.
Good talking to you, Frankie Van.
Good talking to you too.
Hi, my name's Abby and I'm from London.
My name's Wally and I'm from Kilsyth.
My name's Sarah and I'm from Mount Evelyn.
And you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
On Thursday this week, Bruce Argyle will host not one but two studio guests from local sporting groups, Rod McHale and Christy Stumner. Christy's from Yarra Junction, is interested in building strong and sustainable community partnerships. Rod is from Warburton and has a long career record in local government and sporting clubs. In fact, he's currently president of the Warburton Bowls Club. So don't miss Community Conversations this Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to hear Bruce's fascinating interview with two interesting local personalities and see what they're up to in local community development, including their Yarra Valley sporting groups. And just a last word on Community Conversations with Bruce. On Thursday of next week, Bruce's special studio guest will be Bob Gannaway from the Healesville RSL, and he'll be talking about the 80th anniversary of the Rats of Tobruk. We had one of them in here the other day, actually. So that's Thursday, 29th of April, on Community Conversations with Bruce Argyle, right here on Yarra Valley FM.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's got to be Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Hey, Jack, you're running a new show called The Sport. What can people expect when they tune into that every Wednesday?
You get to hear lots and lots of sports news. Also, interviews from key figures in the sporting landscape. Also, you get to hear the teams and tips of what's going on in the world of sport. So make sure you tune into The Sport Wednesdays, 5 till 7.
Speaking of sporting groups, there's a little one called the AFL. I wonder if you know that the AFL Outer East Footy Competition is live and exclusive to Yarra Valley FM. Yes, every Saturday from 1:30, this is the place to be for the match of the day and reports from all of the AFL Outer East games.
The AFL Outer East Match of the Day on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Join us on Saturday at 1:30 for this week's Game of the Round. Join our uninterrupted description right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Be the change.
By 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
I'm a mother, Prime Minister as a father, and I appeal to him as a parent and as a Christian to look into his heart.
We apologise for the laws and policies of successive parliaments and governments.
Be the change. Mondays at noon on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And Sunday is, of course, Anzac Day. Coming up this hour, I'll play some specially selected tunes for the occasion, including Spirit of the Anzacs by Lee Kernaghan and a social commentary on Australia Today from John Schumann. You'll recognise his distinctive red gum voice with a song called Eyes on Fire from his 2011 True Believers album. That's some Anzac Day music coming up for you shortly.
It's Australia's most solemn day, but do we go far enough?
On Anzac weekend, there should be no sport played anywhere in Australia. No radio. And the only people allowed to be seen out and about are people in uniform.
Hotels, would you allow hotels?
Oh, yes, as long as they're in uniform.
As you know, Roy, there are many people now impersonate returned soldiers.
I know.
Can't imagine why.
I don't know whether I like it or not.
Can I just say, some people seem to get a bit of a turn-on from it, which I don't like.
Oh, that's just sick.
Sick? Weird?
Yes.
Fruity?
Yes.
Wobbly? They're words that come to mind.
They should be frog-marched off to a mental institution and debriefed.
We do not know this Australian's name, and we never will. We do not know his rank or his battalion. He may have been one of those who believed the Great War would be an adventure too grand to miss. He may have felt that he would never live down the shame of not going. The unknown soldier honours the memory of all those men and women who laid down their lives for Australia. We've lost more than 100,000 lives, but we've gained a legend and a deeper understanding of what it means to be Australian.
He's a drover drifting over Western Plains. He's a city lad, a clerk down Flinders Lane.
They're in the trenches at Lone Pine and on the Flanders firing line. A wheeling band of ordinary men.
He's all of them, he's one of us. Born beneath the Southern Cross.
Seaman
on the Armadale.
Daughters rising to the call.
She's all of them. She's one of us. Born beneath the Southern Cross. Side by side, we say with pride, she is all of them.
We'll live on and on and on.
He's all of them. He's one of us. Born beneath the Southern Cross. Oh, side by side, we say with pride, he is all.
You're listening to What's on the Radio, your guide to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, broadcast at this time each week.
Make community radio your choice. Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
They mustered us up with a royal din in wearisome weeks of drought. Ere ever the half of the crops were in, or half of the sheds cut out, 'twas down with saddle and spurs and whip, the swagman dropped his swag, and we hurried us off to an outbound ship to fight for the English flag. The English flag is ours in sooth, we stand by it wrong or right. But deep in our hearts is the honest truth, we fought for the sake of a fight. And the English flag may flutter and wave with a worldwide ocean's toss, but the flag the Australian dies to save is the flag of the Southern Cross. If ever they want us to stand the brunt of a hard-fought grim campaign, we'll carry our own flag up to the front when we go to the wars again.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Western line, where the carriages bump and sway, and the aerials tag the skyline, and the ragged children play. I lined up every morning, we were living from pay to pay, eyes on fire. There are some things, mister, that I just don't understand. How the job I've had for 20 years has just moved to Japan, and I'm standing in the dole queue. My country's changing hands, eyes on fire. Eyes on fire. And in the firelight, yeah, no one's taken anything more from here. Without a fight. Got a pair from Singapore. These gloves come in from Shanghai. We don't make them anymore. There's all these Kiwi shearers here. Never seen before. eyes on fire. My radio comes from Taiwan, my car's made in Korea. My son was making car parts, they closed the plant last year. But it's not coming back, the company made that very clear. Eyes on fire. And while the sun still shines and the birds still sing, they can't take away important things from us, like faith,
like faith
and hope,
and hope
and dignity,
and dignity,
and dignity,
and dignity,
and eyes on fire. You can hear the changes coming, like the rumbling of a storm. And under southern skies I see the breaking of the dawn. We didn't start the fighting, but we won't run from the war. Eyes on fire. Eyes on fire. And in the firelight. Enough's enough, no more ground. And more without a fight.
Everyone listens to radio, especially Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
That's what I like to know. Who listens to the radio?
If you're able to tune in to the station on Monday afternoons, you might be familiar with Listen to Older Voices, a half-hour show on the life and times of an older Australian. Well, next Monday at 4 p.m, the start of a three-part series on Christine Easttown. Here's a preview.
I joined up with three other girls who lived close to me, and they'd actually had some real benefits for my social life. So when during Form 3, going into Form 4, they used to go to Opus, the dance at St Kilda Town Hall, and I was beside myself with envy. But my mum and dad said I had to wait until I was 15 before I was allowed to go to Opus. So I had to wait till I was 15 and 1 month because, so, you know, we went to Opus as long as that ran. We saw some great bands there. At Moomba, we would go into Moomba, watch the procession, go to the big concert that used to be at the Music Bowl. I saw Blackfeather, one of my favourite bands of the time. So, yeah, like Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs. I mean, I didn't stay inside for Billy Thorpe. I had to listen to him from the street because he was a bit too loud for me.
Listen to older voices, revisiting through recollections.
The baby boomer generation, a generation that's had such a significant influence on our lives over the past 50 years.
Every Monday at 4 o'clock. Yarra Valley FM.
You're listening to What's on the Radio. Last Wednesday at 12 noon was the Yarra Valley Legal Hour, Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes, part of Alan Collier's Community Connections. For the rest of this hour, we're going to hear it again, in case you missed it the first time. It's a monthly program, so put Wednesday, May the 12th, 12 noon, in your calendar for the next Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. That's 12 o'clock on the 12th of May.
Hello, Alan Collier. You present the Community Connections show every Wednesday. What's that about?
How are you, Greg? The Community Connections show does a variety of things. We have a number of groups come in. Or one of them, we have a legal hour once a month where we take on legal questions. We have organisations like CIRI, U3A. We actually have a new group coming in next Wednesday. It's Anchor. They're coming in to tell us what they do in the Yarra Valley. We've also done mental health. And during the pandemic, we had some financial advice people. We also do one-offs for organisations that want to come in and promote themselves. The idea of the show is two things, is to let people know what's going on in the Yarra Valley. And some people have said to me, I've lived here 35 years and didn't know some of these groups exist. And, of course, the other option is we get a lot of retirees moving in the area that these groups are able to promote themselves to.
So your program's still got room for more? Is there an opportunity for other groups to get involved?
Absolutely. We can either have them in once a month. We can have people that come in just want to do a one-off because they're promoting something that they're doing in the Yarra Valley at a particular time. Or we can have somebody in if they want to come in once a month. We can accommodate those as well, Greg.
Excellent. Great stuff, Alan. Thank you very much.
No worries, Greg.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.com.au.
You're listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
It's really the worst case scenario, right? You're at home in the middle of the night, either sleeping or, you know, doing your thing in comfort, and then someone comes into your house, unwelcomed, uninvited, and they threaten you, threaten your family, something of that sort. So it's a question that I'm sure all of us have asked ourselves. What can we do in that situation? What are we allowed to do? Yeah, exactly right. Now, of course, adrenaline's running high here. Emotions are flaring. Of course, reactions in that situation, it's not critically thought through. The law does recognize that, and there are two considerations that courts normally take into account when, let's say, the person, the intruder, has become injured. The law recognizes that you may have acted in self-defense. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. Right. What are the limbs of self-defense and what considerations are taken into account when defending yourself with self-defense? Yep. So firstly, when self-defense is raised at court, it's on the prosecution to prove that what you did was not actually in self-defense. So there's a reverse onus there. Usually in law, you have to prove what you assert, not in this situation. The prosecution has to prove that you didn't act in self-defense. Firstly, to raise self-defense, you have to consider two things. One, whether your conduct was necessary in self-defense, and two, whether what you did was reasonable. Necessity isn't about what is objective, right? It is what you think is necessary in the moment. Right. Now, whether or not you are intoxicated, necessity varies, doesn't it?
Yep.
Because let's say you are sober and what you think is necessary in the moment to defend yourself, it'll be different to what an intoxicated person would think is necessary in the moment, right? Yep. They may exaggerate what they think is necessary. They may go over the top. But again, it's what's subjective, what you think it is. Now, so there's no consideration of what a reasonable person would do in this situation. A third party looking down on the situation, there's no consideration. That's what you think it is. And of course, that in itself is very hard to measure because in the moment, critical thinking goes out the window. Yeah.
And tomorrow you might have a completely different view.
Yeah, absolutely. And also as well, necessity extends to not only preemptive strikes, but also after the fact, right? If you think it is necessary to act before anything happens, then that's your belief. This is typically in cases of family violence when they want to defend themselves. They may act before anything has actually happened. That in itself is recognized by the law. In family violence cases, it is very sensitive. And how can someone defend themselves unless they take action first? So that's the easy one.
That's the easy one, right?
The second one, of course, is reasonable. The meat of the defense itself. Now, that is purely objective. It is what a reasonable person would do in the situation. And another word that comes to mind here is proportionate measures. There is an interesting case where an inn owner confronted a drunk teenager that had broken in.
Right.
So in this situation, unfortunately, the teenager sustained fractures to his skull. Now, the court, of course, ruled that what the inn owner did was not proportionate by any means. The inn owner did have a weapon there, and the court ruled that having the weapon there was in itself reasonable, but using it was not.
Right.
So it's all proportionate here. And now I imagine this situation, the teenager did not brandish a weapon of any sort. Therefore, it wouldn't have been proportionate to use the weapon against him.
Yep.
Now, this is where you have to be careful, because if you do try to claim self-defense, having gone above and beyond, then the law will not protect you. So, of course, the law always tries to prevent violence of any sort. And in this situation, although it's a sensitive situation where someone's come into your home, the law won't protect you if you're the one perpetrating the violence. So what is reasonable? Well, the court takes into account a few considerations. They ask questions such as, did the home invasion occur at night or during the day?
Right.
Was the intruder armed? Did the intruder threaten the person or people or property in the home? Did the intruder try to flee as soon as they were confronted? Did the occupant of the property have other options to pursue?
So obviously, if they were going to flee, you better let them go, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Chasing after them and, you know, taking law into your own hands, that's not going to fly.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not proportionate, is it? Yeah. If the guy's fleeing, then
Let him go.
Yeah. What can you do in
or
that situation?
Her. We should.
Absolutely, yes. And also, did the occupant or could the occupant have run away themselves? Did they choose to be the aggressor? Yeah,
yep.
Exactly right. Now, in those situations, I guess it's hard when it comes to home invasions, because where can you flee, right?
Yep.
If it's a more public incident, then, of course, fleeing would be an option.
Because often they're in the bedroom, aren't they? And they're between the person and the door.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. So it's hard in that situation. But, of course, it does, again, come down to reasonableness and proportionality. You kind of got to meet them with each step that the intruder takes. So if they're not conducting themselves aggressively, then neither do you. If they're not brandishing a weapon, then maybe you don't either. So it's a matter of just meeting them head on in the situation. Now, of course, again, it is very difficult, and God forbid anyone actually comes into this situation ever. As long as you conduct yourself proportionally, the law will protect you.
You're listening to What's on the Radio, your guide to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, broadcast at this time each week. Listen at lunchtime every Tuesday from 12 to 1 to learn what's new and upcoming, when to tune in so you don't miss them, and listen back to some highlights of one or two of our community talk shows.
Well, how'd you do, Private Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside, and I'll rest for a while in the warm summer sun? Been walking all day, Lord, and I'm nearly done. And I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the glories fallen in 1916. I hope you died quick, and I hope you died clean. Or Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus?
did the pipes play the flutes of forest? And did you leave a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined. And though you died back in 1916, to that loyal heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, forever enshrined behind some glass pane, in an old photograph torn and tattered and stained, and fading to yellow in a brown leather frame? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of forest?
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And I must just quickly mention, we've got Paul from Hutchison League along with us, and give us a bit of a rundown on your take on family law, and obviously you've got some things to tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my expertise lies in family law. I guess I get a few weird looks every now and then when I tell people that I enjoy family law, that I work in family law, because the common view of family law is that it's quite emotional. It's
I would have thought it was,
yeah,
too.
Very difficult as well, due to all the emotions that are flying. But you know what? I love it.
You are listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, best radio station in the Yarra Valley.
And very often, you'd have not just little opposing views, would you? You would have extreme.
Absolutely,
the
yeah. The extremes of both sides. So let's say one party wanting one thing and then the other party wanting the complete opposite. So it's my job to try to meet in the middle somewhere along the way. And you know what? Most of the time it works. The parties actually come to an agreement outside of a court. It's only the very rare situations where it goes to court at all. So that's always very satisfying when the parties finalize these things sooner rather than later. They save a bunch of money, save a bunch of time, they can move on with their lives. And of course, when there's children involved, the children can move on as well, because of all the people involved in family law proceedings, the children are probably the ones who don't know what's going on. They don't fully comprehend. They know something's wrong, but they can't quite put their finger on it.
And they have no input into it.
Absolutely. They're at the mercy of the parents and the system, really. Yep. And the system itself is slow. It's to get things done, it takes months and months, potentially even years.
And the worst part of that is occasionally, and you know this better than I do, that the parents actually use the children.
Yeah, unfortunately. So it's almost, in a way, some matters where, the parents do use their children as weapons against the other parent, whether it be by withholding the children or kind of talking to the children's ears to say certain things to, you know, get the children on one parent's side. Yep. But the thing is, very peculiarly, the children normally tell the parent that they're with just things that they want to hear, that the parent wants to hear.
So they
go to one parent and they say, you know, I love you. I was over at the other parent's house and I didn't like it, blah, blah, blah. But then they'll go to the other parent and say the exact same thing, right? It's because they want to please their parents, both of them.
Yep.
But then that in turn creates a bit of conflict between the parties, because then they'll go to the lawyers and say, the kid said this and they love me more. But then, you know, the other side will say, well, you know what? The kid said that to our client too.
Doesn't take kids long to figure something out, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's unfortunate because they just want the parents to get along. And if the kid's at an age where they don't fully comprehend, then really, what does that do to their upbringing, unfortunately? Yeah. Now, in parenting procedures at court, who's looking after the kid? If the parents are trying to look after their own interests, then the court has to step in to take care of the children. They're the most vulnerable here.
Yep.
And the entire backbone of family law, the entire legislation, surrounds what is in the best interests of the child.
Yep.
That takes into account things such as risk of family violence for the child, the age of the child as well, because, you know, maybe at some ages the child is better suited for the mother. What if the father works full-time? Who's going to take care of the child when the child's at home? What happens if the child's 2 years old, for example?
Yep.
Who can take the child to extracurricular activities? Footy.
Yep.
If a parent's working full-time, then that's not exactly practical. There's a lot of considerations that the court has to make when they order or make orders for the child to stay with a certain parent.
It's probably unfair to put you on the spot, but what percentage of the cases that you deal with would the mothers get the children?
Mm.
And the other one is, what percentage, roughly, would go to court as opposed to can be settled outside court?
Okay. Well, the easy question there is, how many settle outside of court? I'd say at least 90%. Yeah, most of them don't go to court because there is some way to negotiate. And a lot of the times, if you're dealing with asset pools, the asset pool is not that large. So going to court will just severely diminish the amount of money that the parties get. They understand that. And they understand it'll take years for a judge to even hear their case. I'd say more than 50%. I don't have an exact number.
No.
But most of the time, we're dealing with mothers who may have sacrificed a lot of their job or gone down to part-time hours in order to raise the child.
Yep.
So practically speaking, the father would have had to continue with full-time work. It's not practical for the father to have the child or for the child to live with the father for the most part, unless there's some significant risk of family violence there.
Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing, the dying, it was all done in vain. For William McBride, it all happened again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flute in the forest? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes in the forest?
How many times where, say, a property settlement's been done, the husband and wife are, well, not so happy, but they're reasonable outcome, but then they get a sticking point on, say, a family dog or maybe a car or something. How often are they unresolvable and have to go to court?
All right. So if we're talking about out-of-court settlements, cars are viewed as an asset to the relationship. So that would be dealt with under the property settlement in family law. So maybe one party will retain the car. Maybe the car will be sold and the money split a certain way. So the car's all right. It's dealt with in a very standard manner. But when it comes to a dog, that's when it gets a bit grey. The court may push the parties to make their own separate agreement in terms of the dog.
But you've got two people who just will not talk to one another.
Yeah, exactly right. And the court can be very persuasive when they do these things. Of course, when you go to court, you're going to court for the first time. The judge has been there for X amount of years, right? They're splitting out the same aggressive comments they do in every case.
Yep.
But it'll strike the parties as very confronting. So they may say, like, I don't want to hear this again. This is this has to be dealt with out of court. This is unacceptable. They'll say things like that. And the parties will go, oh, gosh, okay, we better do something about this quick. But for the judge, he's just reading off lines, right?
Well, of course, he's in his own home ground too.
Yeah, absolutely. Home field advantage.
Yep.
So he'll say things like that. And then the lawyers, they'll say, all right, let's go outside, let's talk about this, let's come to an agreement about the dog and, you know, how to deal with the dog, who gets the dog on certain days. The lawyers will be there to facilitate the negotiation. And then the parties go outside, they'll talk about, you know, how to do it, they'll come back in, and that'll be finalized. So the judge has his ways to persuade people.
Right, but we'll go, all right, so we'll take a step back. That was talking about a dog. Only reason I raise it, I did read it in the paper the other day where someone's gone off to the Supreme Court because they reckon they should get the dog. Now, I'm not classifying dogs and children in the same way, not at all. But, I mean, it would be fairly standard. Like, the judge is going to get involved in children, isn't he?
Not necessarily. Only if it does go to court. Because,
that's what I mean, if it goes to court.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. If it goes to court and there are children, provided there are children, then the judge will hear things about the children. But, again, doesn't stop the parties, even after court proceedings have been initiated, doesn't stop the parties to agree by consent to certain things. The judges, the court in general, will actually encourage it. There are multiple listings where court case goes before it actually gets to the final hearing. Now, the final hearing is when, you know, the parties get into witness boxes, and that's when, like, you know, I object comes into play. There would have been multiple hearings prior to that and opportunities for the parties to come to an agreement anyway.
Paul, you were saying that there are a number of steps before these matters get to court. Could you just very quickly give us a rough idea of what the various steps are, please?
Yeah, of course. So starting from the very top, you've got the first appointment with the client and the lawyer. Now we just get regular instructions, you know, the circumstances of the relationship, how many children, what are the assets. We draft that into a letter, send it off to the other side. That's the start of the negotiation process. At the start, it's always a bit of back and forth with letters and proposals, counter proposals. And ultimately, if things are good, then both sides agree to certain terms by consent. That's then drafted up into formal documents, either through what's called a binding financial agreement, which is, you know, the regular sort of prenup document. Or if parties want, they can go through court and do consent orders. Now, the parties don't actually turn up to court, but the judge in court does tick off on the orders made by consent.
And they both have the same weight?
Yeah, both are enforceable.
Yep.
And both are binding on the parties as well. But of course, a binding financial agreement, since it doesn't go through the court, it does have a higher risk, even though slight. And now that's the best case scenario if the parties do agree to terms.
Yep.
If letters are being exchanged back and forth and there's no movement, I might go to the client and say, hey, you're not getting anywhere. Maybe you should initiate court proceedings. That way, court can order things to be done by certain dates. There's then movement on the matter, right? Because what happens if you send letters to the other side? They don't respond. What can you do? Well, you go to the court. The court dictates the timeline. The court, after initiating, the other side has a certain number of days to respond to your documents. And then away we go. First court hearings maybe in 3 months. So when I said court date or the court process takes a while, yeah, it does.
Yep.
Just to get the first hearing, it's about 3 months.
Yep.
And the first hearing, it'll probably be nothing more than procedural orders. So things like financial disclosure, valuations of any properties that are in dispute, mediation dates, and then further court dates. That just sets out a timeline for the matter to move slowly but steadily.
It
guarantees it. Because if it was up to the parties, there'd be no movement at all, right? Second hearing comes in, maybe the parties do agree to terms by consent, but that is quite rare given that if they hadn't agreed to certain things prior, what's the chance of them agreeing to this? So fast forward a few cases, a few court dates, fast forward a mediation or two. If the parties haven't agreed by that stage, then it goes to a final hearing. That's when it goes before a judge, and that's when the parties get into the box and they start being questioned. And from there, the court very much likes encouraging the parties to come to an agreement outside. Even if it goes to a final hearing, my experience with final hearings is that the judge kind of goes, well, I'm thinking this way. So if the parties could step outside and discuss that, that'd be great. Because the judges don't normally like making decisions about people's lives. They want the people to make those decisions themselves.
Yep. And feel comfortable with it.
Especially when there's children.
Yep.
Who wants someone, a judge, who doesn't know the family, doesn't know the children, making orders about the children, about how they're to conduct themselves? The judges know that's not reasonable. The parents should make those orders. The parents are the ones taking care of the kid. Even if it does go to the final hearing, there's a huge chance that the parties just deal with it themselves. But at what cost, right? They could have done that a year ago, tens of thousands of dollars less. That's really the downside of going to court.
Well, and I guess it depends on how stubborn some people are too, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. If the judge says, you know, step outside to court and deal with it, and there's one party or, you know, both parties aren't very keen on coming to a resolution, then the judge has no choice in that situation but to make a decision himself.
You're listening to What's on the Radio, your guide to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, broadcast at this time each week.
I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Ow!
God made. That's why God made. That's why God made the radio. That's why God made the radio. That's why God made. That's why God made the radio. That's why God made the radio. That's why God made. That's why God made the radio. That's why God made. That's why God made. That's why God made the radio.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And now you know That's Why God Made the Radio, brought to you by the Beach Boys, and before that, Lawyers, Guns and Money from Warren Zevon. And as I said, put Wednesday, May the 12th, 12 noon in your calendar for the next Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes on Yarra Valley FM. 12 o'clock every Wednesday for Community Connections with Alan Collier.
I'm Sunny Jim here with Tuesday Jive. Hope your day has gone smoothly. You can take it easy. Relax, keep your ears rocking. Tuesday Jive for your Tuesday drive, 5 till 7, every second Tuesday, right here on Yarra Valley FM.
Put it on the stereo and the rest is history.
Like their other records, it's round with a hole in the center.
Tune in to Joey, Dance This Mess Around.
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
7 until 9 p.m. Tuesday, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Oh, yeah, you can't get any better than that. Can you? Remember.
You've been listening to What's on the Radio, your guide to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, broadcast at this time each week. Listen at lunchtime every Tuesday from 12 till 1 to learn what's new and upcoming and when to tune in so you don't miss the shows we're talking about and to listen back to highlights from one or two of our community talk shows. The show is produced by Dr. Robert and brought to you by the volunteers of Yarra Valley FM 99.1, your local community radio station.